Good morning.
How are you doing? Okay.
All right. Yeah. Did you stay up last night?
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
Me too?
No. All right. Welcome to the Recreation Committee, everybody. Tuesday, April 3rd, 9 o'clock a.m. Then at our municipal complex. Item number one is approval of the minutes from our February 5th meeting. All right. Second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Item number two is a public comment period. This is an opportunity for anybody that had any public comments. You're more than welcome to get up today. We'll give you 2 minutes at the podium to say whatever you like, or else you can wait till the item comes up on the agenda and speak at that time. Anybody have anything they would like to say? Okay, sir, you can go ahead on up. Well, John, you can go next after him. Sir, give your name and address for the record.
My name is Al Bradshaw Whittemore. I live at 577 Antebellum Lane in Bell Hall Plantation, Mount Pleasant. I'm also the newly appointed USA Pickleball Association ambassador for Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. And I've been sending out for over a year now a weekly email on pickleball updates. It has grown to over 350 people now. And also I have created a Facebook group which is called SC Low Country Pickleball. We have 100 members. We really enjoy playing at Marion Brown now. We've got four pickleball courts on basketball courts, but sometimes there's a conflict with basketball. This past Monday, we had over 20 pickleball players out there playing, had a great time. And then considering that since work needs to be done on the Royal Street tennis courts, we'd like to have them marked, whatever that you approve for tennis courts, have them marked with pickleball courts. So that would give us more places to play. We're thankful for what the town provides facilities, but we need more, especially also indoor courts. They've given us some indoor courts temporarily for 2 months in cold weather and hot weather, but we need more. Downtown Charleston has an indoor facility, and so does West Ashley, the Salvation Army, and we don't have anything that's permanent. We'd like it. We really need it. In the warm or in cold weather, a site that we could use. We'd like for consideration to be made also for the new town hall gymnasium to have pickleball courts. And that's probably within my 2 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much
for hearing me out.
Okay, anybody else? You can wait till it's on the agenda or you can speak now if you'd like. All right, seeing none, we'll move on to item number three, budget review for 2019. And I will defer to Mr. DeMora.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. O'Rourke. If you would flip to the recreation tab in your budget, and I'll go ahead with Steve and review with you some of the highlights. Overall, the recreation department budget decreased almost $59,000 over the current year. And the big driver in that is $174,000 that was in the current year budget for the construction of a clay court that's now going to be constructed. So that more than made up for the increases in salaries, which is the very first line item that included the wage recommendation for employees. And it also made up for the 1% mandatory state retirement contribution. Wanted to focus your attention also on the second page. You'll notice we have a doubling recommended for the Cultural Arts and Pride budget for next year. And as far as capital expenses, we are prepared and proposing in this budget to replace a minivan for the Recreation Department. And if you flip to the Capital Funds tab summary, we can talk a little more about capital expenditures. What you won't see in capital expenditures for this year is the gymnasium is being built right out back. That's in the current year. And you also won't see phase two of Carolina Park. That's underway. But you will see phase three of Carolina Park, which is on page 16 in the capital funds section of the budget. $3.5 million is programmed for that. We have some repairs programmed for the Jones Center and more money towards athletic field drainage, which we've been steadily doing every year. That's in the amount of $125,000. Repairs at Darby Building, some additional money as we start trying to compile money to one day construct the recreation center off of Rifle Range Road. You'll see money for the Patriots Point contract, annual contract in there as well. So that's the recreation budget in total, and we're available to answer any questions that you have.
Good. Now, Tom?
I have no questions.
Eric, I was just looking for the Muggsy Kerr. We were going to, I think, increase the tennis courts on Muggsy Kerr. Is that in here as well?
That's this year's.
That's this year. That's going on now. With the that was actually just awarded at the bids and purchases meeting yesterday.
Okay, good. Skateboard park. I see where we had money in it this year. Is that for the expansion of the skateboard park?
The park.
So $31,068.
That's going along with a PARD grant that we have to put some other lights over there in that area and some other amenities just to improve the area with the PARD grant.
Okay.
So that'll be very nice. Getting some trash cans, some other the lights is the primary thing though.
But that's in this year's budget, not in 2019.
Yeah, correct.
Good. Just for the sake of everybody in here, would you kind of let them know what's going on with Phase 3 at Carolina Park?
Sure. Phase 3 at Carolina Park, we will be following the conceptual master plan that that Seaman Whiteside developed. Some of the things that are planned for the area will be two softball fields. They will be women's softball fields, 200-foot fences, a full-size 300-foot fence baseball field over there. There's going to be an additional rectangular field, an outdoor basketball court, which we have no outdoor basketball courts north of the IOP. So it'll be nice to have an outdoor basketball court facility over in that area. That's a two-court facility, which we do intend to put some pickleball lines on there as well. So have some other places to be able to put some lines over there. And, of course, there's additional parking for all of that as well. There's going to be a lot of additional parking, a whole other parking lot that's developed over by what we call Field 5 right now, well, where Field 5 will become.
Didn't we also talk about the possibility of a dog park?
There is. I'm sorry, I didn't include that. But, yes, there's a dog park in the back corner of it. We hope to be able to place a dog park over there and have a trail going along the outside of the property to get over there. It'll be very nice. It'll be a real nice little dog park over there. We're trying to avoid putting it next to a retention pond, as we have on some of the other ones, because of the waste and the water quality. So in the future, we want to be able to have that dog park over there and see if we can work it in a way where things don't drain into it.
How about phase two, Eric, of our waterfront park down there? We've got some things going on for that too, right?
We do. We've been anticipating the permit to arrive from, it eludes me all of a sudden, the agency. No, the Army Corps is the one that's left to come in. DHEC, thank you. The permit to come in from DHEC for the expansion of the pier. That's the big item, $6 million item out there. As of last week, we received it, and that will pave the way for the remaining permit, which is the Army Corps of Engineers. And once that is in hand, we can move forward with the construction and the bidding of, well, the bidding first, and then we'll be sure if we have the money, and then eventually the construction.
Good. Now, I know on the other side of the park, we were talking about parking and maybe a splash pad at another dog park down in that area of town. Is that involved in that, or is it included in that, or no?
It's in the master plan. Yeah. It's funding dependent. And right now, we don't have the funding to reach that side of Harry Hallman Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. So any chance we can put it in this budget coming up?
It's a decision of council. We'd have to...
Well, I know GM was, concerned also about she's not here, so not that I speak for her, but I just know that if she was here, she'd be asking about it, so I'm just doing that in her absence, about having a splash pad for the kids. And now, just so everybody understands, that's not at the normal waterfront park. It's on the other side where all the parking and all is, so it's away from where all the current items are at the waterfront park. And then we were talking about doing a dog park in the area around where the bridge is touched down in there. So it's farther away from the phase one of the waterfront park. So I just want to make sure everybody understood that. We're talking about trying to develop that such that people can bring their dogs down there. Right now, there's no place for them to walk their dogs down there. And, you know, and I know GM was very concerned about having some type of water feature for the kids and all down there. So I just wanted to know if that was going to be included in this phase of the budget as well. Nope.
No, it's the CIP presented at, which was presented at the retreat, did not have that part of the project scored as a priority. Council can certainly change those priorities, but it fell short of some what scored to be more pressing issues related to transportation and stormwater.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let GM talk about it when she gets back as well. All right. I think that's it. Pretty much for me.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to carry this budget on to the budget committee meetings.
Okay. We got a motion. I'll second it. Any discussion? You got anything else you'd like to say?
No.
I'd like to say one thing. It's nice to be a dog in Mount Pleasant.
Sure. We do have a lot of dog parks. There's no doubt about it. We like to take care of our animals and we like to treat them right. And you're right. There's a lot of them, but it gives our citizens an opportunity to have somewhere close to where they live to, although they may not be able to walk, but it's a short drive over there. I think Charleston County, I know James Island has one.
It does.
You know, we're going to have four or five by the end of the day, which is great for the citizens, so they don't have to go so far in order to walk their animals. All right, so we have a motion and second.
Kevin got his hand up. I don't know if you want
to. Who's that?
Kevin, yeah.
Kevin, did you have something?
Yeah, it's not a dog park.
Name and address for you know that.
There
you go.
On the dog park issue, I thought it was discussed in committee, and if I'm not mistaken, that said maybe that isn't the spot for it considering the special events and all that stuff. And there was also banter in the room about I keep putting everything down here, water park down here, you know, the other side of town could use a water park too. And the, you know, this type of thing, it seems like it came up, it was discussed, and then every month we're talking about how we're going to do it, and there was never voted on it. So
well, we are looking at doing a water park up in the northern part of town. We had one, the first one, the Bark Park, was in
here first.
No, that one's already in the budget up there in the northern at Carolina Park. So the Bark Park was the first one that we had in the town other than, the county had one over the PRC's facility over Palmetto Islands actually is the first one, but it's not actually in the town. But the first one in the town was actually the Bark Park up there at our Park West facility. So, they had the first one up there. And we're going to do one at Carolina Park as well. So we're not putting one up there. It's just that they got to kind of make it fit because of the drainage and the ponds and all out there. It turned out not to be such a good idea at the Bark Park to have that facility there. So anyhow, we just want to make sure we cover the town and people have, you know, an opportunity to go close to where they live to be able to take their animals. All right, we have a motion and a second on the budget. Anything else? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it.
Thank you.
All right, item number four is discuss the relocation of Royal Tennis Court project at Edwards Park, and I will defer to Steve or Eric.
Let me pull up a slide here. We have a grant from Land and Water Conservation Fund for the funding of the rebuilding of the Royal Tennis Courts at on Royal Avenue. Currently, there's three courts that are over there in that area, in this configuration right here, and we received, it's a 50-50 matching grant from the Land Water Conservation Fund, so we received about $195,000 from them for this project. In looking at the project, the footprint of three courts over in that area exceed the 40% impermeable surface requirement that the town has for construction in the old village area over there. It's right around 52%, I believe, of the impermeable surface between the courts and the parking lot and the areas over there. In order not to impose a rule on other people that we don't follow ourselves, it was looked at to reduce the footprint of these courts to only having two courts over there in that area. Which brings it down to about 38% impermeable surface, and we would not exceed the 40% allowable. So that is the design, that is the plan that we're moving forward with at this point. Let me try to go to the next slide here. Would basically look like, here's the two court footprint for that area. It has been brought up in discussion, the possibility of relocating the courts over to Edwards Park, which is directly across the street, to see if they could be relocated over there to that area. I don't have the answers as to whether they can or not. There's a lot of things that come into play, I think, with the plans for storm drainage and everything else, but that was to be explored. I think the discussion today was to talk about whether they could move over there. It's a much larger piece of land. The piece of land next door, you can see where the courts are right now, and then we're across the street at Edwards Park. If three courts were placed over in that area, it would not exceed 40%. And so the discussion to be had is, you know, is that the way we would like to move forward with this project?
So. Well, we also talked about maybe putting just one court over at Edwards Park, leaving two at the existing area there as
That's
well.
Possible.
So the good thing is we have options.
Right. I did check with Land Water Conservation. I did check with SC PRT up in Columbia, and they. We do have permission to use the grant for reuse of that facility. So we would not entirely lose the grant if we could not use it to build anything on another spot, on another location. However, any demolition of the facility, any reuse of it, it could still be used, that the grant could still be used on the Royal location where the courts currently exist.
So what you're saying is financially it's better to leave the two courts over there and put one on
We would be able to do that, or whichever we wanted to do it. We could also repurpose that whole other area. There's so many things that could go. I mean, you could put pickleball courts over in that other area. You could do. There's a lot of other things that could be done and how it could be reused. But we can reuse. We can use the grant that we have for that location, but we cannot use any of that funding for a different location.
Good with what?
No, I mean I agree.
All right.
Anybody? I think it's a couple things. One, what I probably don't understand well enough to show my ignorance is, you know, if we're at, you know, 47% impervious, or we're at 52 and we need to be at 47.
Below 40.
If there's any design change that could be made to leave three courts there, probably not. I don't know. Just philosophically, I'm not like a one thing kind of person, you know. I think there's economies with management where if you have many things in one area, it's just like Muggsy Kerr Tennis Complex. The reason that works well is you have a whole bunch of tennis courts in one spot. You know. I just think, yes.
Well, one second. I'm going to let the public come up and speak. You have to give your name and address for the record.
And it's the same thing with pickleball, too. Just, see, you've got me going. I'm not going to shut up. It's the same thing as pickleball, you know. To build one pickleball court somewhere, I got issues with that. I mean, we should be building 16 pickleball courts in one spot where people are coming from Miami to play here and building up our accommodations tax fund and all of that. And we build one pickleball court somewhere. I mean, it's really great. Everyone says thank you, and we leave. But what do we have? I don't know if we have anything, actually. And pickleball guys are here today. Who's coming next month? Lacrosse? You know, soccer?
Everybody been here.
It doesn't matter what the thing is. We don't have enough things for everybody that wants to do it. And we can manage by showing up at a meeting and have people yell, and then we throw a pickleball court somewhere, or we can figure out what in the world we're going to need in 20 years and build towards it. And that it's really hard to manage this way, in my opinion. I'm a planning guy, and, you know, I just got issues with one court here and one court here and thinking like we're making people happy and we're not solving the needs. And the only reason you've only got 300 people now is because there's not enough room. Where do you put more courts out there? You'll have 2,000 people playing, and that's the goal.
People show up at one time, I'm leaving town.
Hey, I'm gonna let you get up and speak in a second. Okay?
I'll stop.
No, so you know, the idea would be to keep that grant money, you know, would leave two of them over there. or else we would lose the grant money. If we put it all over there, it's $192,000. There was an idea of putting three courts in Edwards Park and making
it. If you put three courts in the middle of that field, you're going to have 50 million people at the next council meeting.
Yeah. So what we were thinking of was leaving the two there and maybe putting one there to, right across the street. So you can, you know, you've got parking. You can just walk right across the street and be right there. There, you know, you could do a pitch and wedge and hit, you know, where the existing area is.
Or you can put eight of them 2 miles from there on Rifle Range Road. You know, I mean, we're trying to solve the need in a place that is pretty sensitive, in my opinion. And it would be great, and it's only a tennis court, you know, bulldoze it down and put more dirt in later, but, you know, I wish we were thinking a little bigger than one court right now. That's just my opinion.
All right, I'll open it up for the public. So anybody that wants to speak, go up here and give your name and address for the record.
John Wilderman, 2139 Oyster Reef Lane. I'm not certain of the math involved with this, but Mr. O'Rourke, I think you mentioned, began to get into this area, that if you're familiar with the structure, the various structures of sports courts where they have permeable surfaces, that obviously wouldn't be appropriate for a tennis court, but it could be appropriate for the outside 3 foot edge where there's going to be no ball strike. And it may be on very rare occasions that a tennis player may have to go that deep to retrieve a ball, but the footing on a sports court is as good as it is on a tennis court. And if someone would have to work out the math, whether it would be 3 or 4 feet, but I think that would solve your problem. Thank you.
Anybody else?
This ought to be good.
Huh?
This ought to be good.
Yeah, I'm David Garrison. I live at 1551 Ben Sawyer Boulevard, Simmons Point. I'm a pickleball player, new to the sport, but there's a lot of fanatics out there about pickleball. And pickleball, I look at the tennis courts that are out there and how they're used with two people on three courts for an hour, and then I look at pickleball yesterday that had probably 30 or 40 people out there for 3.5 hours taking up less space. I'm kind of a big pickleball fan. So, you know, I look at the courts that you're talking about here and wonder if, kind of like John was saying about the repaving of the surface, you talk about parking and the tennis courts itself taking up a certain amount of area. If you look at maybe taking the parking area and making it permeable, paving stones or whatever versus non-permeable, would seem to be a potential solution to also solve that area right there. I'm a believer with Tom that long term it would be nice to have 16 permanent pickleball courts set up on somewhere else. You know, and I'm all for dogs, but you can walk dogs anywhere and dog parks are great, but you know, you can take a dog and walk it wherever you want to. Pickleball, we can't do that. So I'd like to see something that's more long term for something like that, but if we don't have time to do that and it's going to take 4 years, then you know, I'd rather see something done short term, you know, with those areas to make them more permanent and more playable for the majority of the people that are around to do that. So
thank you,
sir.
Hello, I'm Christina Carl. I live at 1104 Sea Island Crossing Lane. And I'm here to support pickleball interests. So one is, Mr. O'Rourke, I hear you about the long-term need. We have short-term, we have capacity issues, and I can foresee in the long-term we're going to have capacity issues. So I thought I would just lend a little bit of perspective. So for those of you who don't know, pickleball is oftentimes referred to as the fastest growing sport in the United States. It's known primarily as an active senior sport. So I'm kind of an oddball being 46. Most of the people that I play with, my friends, are, you know, 10, 20 years older than I am, or more. And but one thing that is changing about the sport, and it is growing rapidly. So you know the U.S. Open in Naples every year, that was on ESPN last year. It's really growing very quickly. It's very popular in Arizona and Florida in active senior communities. Those snowbirds have come back for the summer, and they've come back with this obsession that probably can be classified as an addiction, and they demand pickleball. I'm sorry, that's my phone going off. But they demand pickleball. So they've started pickleball in their own communities across the country. What's happened is then from there, it's gone into physical education classes. So really you have this band of active seniors. You have this lost generation, that's me, there are a few of us, and then you have very young people playing. So as you start to go to tournaments around the country, you see some older, an older band, and you see a younger band. So I'm just saying for capacity, it's growing. Even as people like myself catch on, we have a lot of converts from tennis. That's one thing to keep in mind. Another is that pickleball is such that it is a sport that it's a level playing field for the most part. It's playing like on a junior tennis court largely, and it's almost like playing ping pong. So there's not a lot of running. So I play with my nephews and my parents, and we all play together and we have a good time. Okay, so it's multi-generational. So it's not really like age and gender really isn't a factor for the most part. Another thing to keep in mind is that on a single tennis court, oftentimes you go to see people playing tennis and there are two people playing a singles game. Pickleball is predominantly a doubles game, okay? So you have four people on a court, but you can also fit four pickleball courts in one tennis court. So where you have two people playing tennis, you can have 16 people playing pickleball, okay? So that's some background, and if there ever is a long-term discussion, I would love to be part of like the economic impact also to the community. Thank you.
Thank you. I know you playing that backdrop there with the birds.
Sorry.
That was great, man. I loved it.
A nice ringtone.
The birds are chirping.
I need to get that one. That's pretty good. Okay, anybody else? Go ahead, ma'am. Name and address for the record, please.
I'm Gay Slough. I live at 1348 Old Tabby Lane, Mount Pleasant. I've been here 30 years. And in my business, I always emphasize how this is such an active, healthy, athletic town. And the more we can have of that, the better it is. And those three, well, now there's three, but if you cut it down to two tennis courts there, you could probably put four pickleball courts there, if not five, instead of two tennis courts. Now you're diminishing how many you have now. And maybe you could put two tennis courts in the park and just tuck them up in the corner, like you said, if it's allowable per land. And it would be a great asset because, like she said, the pickleball courts take up a lot less room. Also, I used to play tennis on and off all my life, and now will never play tennis again because it is so much better for me to play pickleball. I don't have to run so much. It's a great variety of people that do play. It's... You, like she said, you have many more people playing pickleball than you do tennis. You have a greater use of the land than you do with the larger tennis courts. And also I wondered about the tennis courts. There's so many on Whipple Road. And when I've been there, maybe three are being used, and there's probably 10 empty. So why couldn't something be considered over there on the Whipple Road? Because you cross the street, you have the big tennis court complex. So there are a greater number of tennis courts here, and I think there's a greater number of pickleball players than there are tennis players, in my opinion, of what I've seen. So that's just my two cents. But it's a great sport, and I think that we need to encourage it more and more, like everybody said, because it's growing. So, okay. Thanks.
Okay. John?
Don't we have a one Santos limit in this room?
John Santos. I'm at 1005 Chambers Lane. I'm also a convert, I guess, recent convert to the great game I call with the funny name. I was a tennis player for 40 years competitively, wore away all the bone in my right ankle. Couldn't play anymore, so I was lamenting not being able to do anything and sitting at home getting fat. And so my buddy said, you need to play this game. So about 6 months ago, I went out, and Mike Michener, who's here, put a paddle in my hand and never played, said, here, try this. And next thing you know, I'm addicted. So it is a great game. It's a great game for tennis players. It's a great game for young. It's a great game for old. I think that, you know, what y'all are trying to do is needed and admirable. I do think we need a short-term fix because right now we're driving from, you know, I live in the, basically on Shem Creek. I'm driving to Park West to West Ashley to wherever to be able to find a place to play when I'm not working, because that's the problem. Some of the places only play in the mornings, or they only play when I'm happen to be still working for a living, so I can't play during those hours. So I do think there's a short-term need to just find dual use or tennis courts that aren't being utilized all the time, because tennis is still huge. It's a lot of people playing tennis in this community. But I think there are courts that are available at certain times and certain days that, you know, aren't being utilized. But to Tom's point, I do think long-term, this is one of the fastest-growing sports. I saw my cousin at a family reunion this Saturday, and he said Florida is the fastest-growing sport in Florida, and I think it's one of the fastest-growing sports nationally. And I do think there's an opportunity to make it a great way to, if we had a really nice center with dedicated courts, you could actually, because Charleston's already a destination resort, you could have big tournaments and you could have bring in people like Naples, Florida, and some of these other places that are much smaller communities and make it an income producer for the town of Mount Pleasant. So anyway, I hope we will support the council in any way that we can, if it means going out and putting lines down ourselves, if you tell us where we can do it. But, you know, we appreciate your efforts.
Can I speak a second time?
Absolutely. Well, Mr. Cunane, you'll go after Mr. Cunane. We go by the tonnage rule around here. Whoever has the most tonnage rules.
Take it easy. Take it easy. I don't play pickleball. When I look at the two properties, I'm wondering if we could aggregate them into one and meet the 40% rule. They're right across the street from each other, right? Potentially, also, and the other thought that comes to mind is everybody here's a pickleball player. I don't see anybody whose property adjoins this, and we need those yellow signs and let them come in and tell what they want for their neighborhood too. I think that's an important part of it. So I don't know when or if that happens in a recreation project, but I'm sure there's interest amongst the immediate neighbors.
Absolutely.
My name is Al Brad. Al Bradshaw, Whittemore, 577 Antebellum Lane, Mount Pleasant. We're going to focus on another thing. You talk about long-term planning. I always bring up when I met Mayor Haney the first time, I was introduced by Kathy Bustos as her pickleball buddy. So Mayor Haney made the statement, I want to make Mount Pleasant the pickleball capital. So I remind him every time I see him that. And also, I came across a recent article. We're talking about Florida and Naples. They held the U.S. Open pickleball championships. And as a result, they realized $2.5 million economic impact upon the community by doing that. They had 800 players come in, and it was over a period, I think, 5 days. They used 25 courts. They've now grown to 48 courts in this complex, and it's going to be 1,300 players this year, and extending a few more days, so no telling what the economic impact will be. So that's payback. I mean, you get your money back, you get more tourists in here, and that's long-term planning is a complex that for pickleball. Thank you.
Good. Anybody else? Okay, sir.
Yeah, my name is Mike Mitchner, 2157 Sandy Point Lane, Mount Pleasant. And I moved here 3 years ago, and originally when I did move, I noticed how small the pickleball community was. I bet there wasn't 30 or 40 players in the whole area. So you can see by Al's numbers how much we have grown and how much we continue to grow. The most important thing to me, as others have stated, is finding space. I had originally spoke to Ms. Santos about using the courts at Whipple. You also alluded to the fact of having one central location, because I agree with you, that has always been my issue, is having one pickleball court here, one pickleball court there, where you should have one central location where people can all go. I would attest that if you monitored the courts at Park West now, since they put in the pickleball lines, you probably have a lot more pickleball players than you do tennis players right now up at that facility. So that just, again, kind of backs up what we're saying about the growth. We need that. We can't be reacting to an issue. We have to kind of get out in front of it if we possibly can. So we appreciate everything that you folks are doing. We want you to really consider Whipple Road. I think they've got centrally a great location, and I think it would behoove us all to kind of look at that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Steve, would you mind talking to them a little bit about our plans for, you know, the Muggsy Kerr? They call it Whipple Road, but I like to call it sure. Muggsy Kerr since it was named after her. Our plans for that with the field in the back and now with phase three of Carolina Park being approved.
All right. The Carolina Park funding is very important, and it's kind of funny how the things all interact with each other. So the Carolina Park funding does allow us to build that additional baseball field. By doing that, we will no longer need the baseball field that's at Muggsy Kerr, that's behind Muggsy Kerr over there, and that which would in turn allow us to expand at Muggsy Kerr for your sake here. We'll be able to expand over there in that area. We would like to be able to incorporate that in the additional facilities, and it would be good to be able to put standalone pickleball courts over there at that facility. The existing courts at Whipple, also at Muggsy Kerr, have quick start lines that are on them. So you have the regular tennis lines, and you also have quick start lines that are on them. So they're already double lined. They could be triple lined, but you do start running into some confusion in the way that, you know, the courts will appear when you put three sets of lines on one court. So a standalone pickleball courts would be preferred in that area if we could work that into our plan. But the additional space that we'll gain by being able to replace that ball field is the area where the facility will be expanded, and they could be incorporated into that area.
That's a pretty big area. So
it is, and sure.
How many? I mean, you don't have to give me an exact figure, but how many pickleball courts do you think could be?
Oh my God!
Well, I can tell you there's two pickleball courts basically per tennis court. There's two pickleball. Sorry.
There's four to a tennis
court. Right. When we have done that at Park West, the ones that we've done at Park West where we've put four, we've heard that was a little bit more crowded than they wanted it to be. But if we can put four on one tennis court, we could do that. But from experience so far, we've heard that's a little bit too crowded. But at any rate, the number of tennis courts that we can have at Whipple, and Jimmy, I think you know that, and in the future expansion, just to give you an idea of size, we know how many tennis courts would go into that additional area, and so then you could do the math to determine how many pickleball courts you could put in there.
Six courts.
So the current plan for expansion over there would be six tennis courts. So you could say six times two would be at least 12, or as many as 24 if you put four per court.
So you mentioned standalone pickleball courts. How many do you think you could put over there at that newer area there where the ball field is?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I would be doing the math just based on if we were able to put six tennis courts over there. I would say you'd be able to put at least 12 would be my expectation.
Okay.
Go for it, Coach.
Go for it.
I don't know what the question is, or I would ask. I'm a little concerned about two things. One, that area is sensitive to the people that live there. Kevin, you haven't heard from them, you will. If we put three tennis courts in the middle of that thing, you will. Number one. Number two, as I said, and I'll keep beating this dead horse, I think that it would be really nice if we weren't sharing so much. Certainly you can put pickleball lines on a tennis court, but if we had 16 pickleball courts at Whipple, three-quarters of a mile from the senior center, you've got a pretty nice, I mean, with benches and shelters and water fountains and a place where you can go and spend that day. Bathroom facilities.
Yeah, that's important.
I think that would be good. The other thing that, I mean, you know this. You've been in this game. The tennis people aren't here fighting for themselves now because they don't know that we're about to take away their tennis courts. Tennis is big here. And I love pickleball, everybody, but I love all my children the same. Okay? I like lacrosse. I like senior 303 basketball. I like every single thing the same. So for us to take away from something that's already out there, I don't want to do that, actually. I want to expand. And I think separate use would be good. I think if we stick a pickleball court in the middle of that thing, we're just trying to appease people and not take heat, quite frankly. I think if we can do what the rec department's trying to do, get Carolina Park Phase 3 going so we can open up the space at Muggsy Kerr, stick 16 pickleball courts in a complex that's serious. And Naples, the one at Naples was paid for by the county. I know this. The county has money, and they use their accommodations tax funding. But we could do the same thing. You know, we can actually fund this thing with a revenue bond paid for by the accommodations tax funding that we're going to get if we do something like that. So believe me, I know the economic impact of this. Seniors that travel, bring their wallet, you know, and soccer teams that travel, throw six little kids in a van, and they all sleep in the same room. It's different when seniors do this. So we actually should be looking for things like that. So, you know, I don't know if there's a question or for us to vote on something right now, but I think this is a sensitive area, and I think we need to be careful. I think we need to continue with what you want to do and get the grant. That's good. But we just got to tread lightly.
So is that in form of a motion for the pickleball courts at Muggsy Kerr?
Well, that, again, is planning. You know, I mean, I don't think that's – I think that for us to do that now and take it to council, is it handcuffs all these people that are working hard because it's going to – we have to finish the plan that's in front of us now, which is Phase 3. Phase 3 will open up this area here.
Right.
And I think we can figure out how to work on planning for that area somehow, including the pickleball players, bringing them around the table for design help. And doing things like that. It's going to be tough, everybody, but we can't have that court tomorrow. And if we work so hard to build one court, I think you're actually further behind than you are moving forward. And I'm okay if you all want to hate me for that, but I think we should be let them finish what they're going to do in this budget that's here. Eric knows what we want, you know? He'll figure out a way to bring us around the table to talk about Whipple. Steve's the same way, so... I think we have heard the people. I think they've spoken loudly. None of us dislike pickleball, I promise you. And I know the money that pickleball can bring in, believe me. So, but I think we ought to give you a real home. I don't think we ought to throw a bone to you. I mean, that's just disrespectful.
Do we still have open time?
Yes, ma'am.
Just based on what you're saying.
Okay.
Come on.
I knew it.
Name and address for the record.
My name is Mary Ricosi. I live at 615 Baytree Court. So I'm listening to you, and I hear long-term and short-term. And so when we're talking about this direct issue that's on the table now, as opposed to Whipple, Muggsy, whatever, which is for the future, I'm here to say if you are putting money towards this, we're just asking for multi-use. We're asking for times when it's maybe not being used by tennis players for us to be able to use it. We get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Most of us are retired, so we have that time, that free time to get up and play. And as we've said, as the weather's getting nicer, more and more people are coming out to play. So I don't want it to go off the table that, yeah, in the future we might be doing something specific for pickleball, but right now if we're discussing what's going to be done at this space, I like multi-use.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I made you think we meant... I mean,
yeah, that's what I thought you were saying.
No, the staff has been working on multi-use. The staff's been working on multi-use since pickleball was first brought to them. And I think they've done a pretty good job of trying to do that. So, you know, you got two issues. You've got capital projects and you've got use. And the rec department's, I think, done a really good job with trying to do the best that they can in multi-use. I don't think that's off the table.
Okay, we've had a lot of great discussion. We still have another item before we adjourn. So I think staff understands what we're looking at. And I really appreciate the public coming here and giving us your opinion on things. I'm sure we'll hear from other folks as well. We have this on the agenda for discussion. So I think we can get with staff and really look at trying to figure this out so that we can provide for pickleball as well as for our tennis folks.
And when you leave, please understand that today isn't a no. Today is a refocus on something permanent, something multi-purpose, or I mean multi-use for pickleball that fits into to what we're doing in the rec department. So it's we want this to happen. But I'm not so sure, like I said, that your solution is, you know, an extra court right in the middle of that area. So we'll get there.
Mr. Chairman, in order to comply with the ordinance, we'd like permission to go ahead and proceed with the construction of the two courts at the current location.
Okay.
Just one more question. So the reason there's not three is between a 47% impervious rule and a 52% impervious
exactly
rule?
Exactly right.
If it's 40. 40%.
40 is the rule. 50 is what it actually, 52 is what it actually covers. The town by ordinance has restricted the development of property in that area because there's a stormwater
flooding.
Issue.
Yeah, all the flooding.
And so the feeling is that the town needs to do what it's requiring everyone else to do, and that is to restrict it. Otherwise, we can go to the Board of Zoning Appeals and seek a variance, which is
that would not guaranteed. That wouldn't be
exactly.
A good thing to do.
Right.
But still, I wonder if there's, Warren, I hate to put you on the spot, man. Is there anything you can't do it?
Not two courts. Yeah.
All right, thank you. I trust the experts. But again, we've just taken away a tennis court from a very serious tennis community in this town, too.
Absolutely.
So we've got to keep that in our mind.
Well, pickleball courts.
Right. We do have, upwards of close to 900, active members. These are members, paying members in the tennis community.
No question.
Right. That's a lot.
But it's a good problem,
mm-hmm.
We've got people that want to stay active, but it's also our responsibility to give them places to do it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you all for coming. And as you see, we're going to be looking at this very hard to try and make sure that we address the situation and help the pickleball folks as well as the tennis folks. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item number four is, number five is to a report on the possible field improvements in the Snowden community.
What you said.
I'll defer to staff.
Jody Peel has some information regarding the Snowden community and the fields that are over there and taking a look at what it would take to get them in better condition to be able to play and cost-wise. I'm sorry.
Good. Good morning.
Good morning.
I believe two meetings ago I was asked to determine some prices of what it would get the Snowden field in condition for play.
Jody, can I ask one question before
yes,
you do
sir.
This? Before you talk, you do as good a job as anybody I've ever seen with playing fields, ever.
Thank
been
you.
Doing it for a long time. The figures that you're going to give us, is it based on, what quality level did you do this at? Do you do it at the same as your other fields, or middle, or what? What standard did you do this at?
It's not to the standard that we have right now
okay.
that we play on. I was basically just going to address the issues that needed to be addressed to have a safe environment.
Okay.
And it's not doing anything with turf management or anything like that, or irrigation or lighting, because it has no lighting.
Okay.
My price was actually to go there to look at the fence, see what condition is the fence is in, around the whole perimeter of this complex. I have a price for that. And then I looked at the dugouts and what condition the dugouts were in and what would it look like, what it would cost to put it in a playable condition, similar to what we use on our facilities for our dugouts.
Slab and fence?
Well, they already have some slab. They have a fence in front of it. Some of it's fallen down. Some of it's missing. There's poles that are sticking out. There's poles that are hanging down. So I looked at fence company, give me a price to address all fence issues. Contractor give me a price to address dugouts and brickwork and maybe painting the dugouts to get it in a nicer looking condition. And then also what it would cost to put clay on the infield, but we're using in-house services to do that. So I did not charge anything for our labor to cut the grass out in order to put in a clay field. My price comes back at $22,780.
Now, Jody, if you broke it out, for instance, and just said putting the clay on the field. How much, did you have it broken out or you just?
Yes, I
off?
Do. Fence repair is $7,280.
Okay.
Dugout repair is $14,500. And just to put the clay on, is only you're purchasing the clay for $1,000.
Yeah.
My labor is not included in this.
Right.
We were going to do it in kind service and use our staff to remove the existing grass that has grown into the plain surface and put clay back on top of it.
So in talking to the Snowden community, you know, we talked about, you know, just improving that field so that the little guys could come out there and play. My intention was not to go in there and create a ball field where we're putting fences up and dugouts out and stuff like this. These are the little guys that I understand there might be a safety issue with the dugouts, with the poles, like you said, sticking out and all that. But the idea, I think, initially was just to be able to give them a good, you know, a field to be able to play on so that their little guys from 5 to 8 year olds will be able to come in there and play t-ball and, you know, things like that. So you're saying that it's $1,000 plus your labor, or you say you're not charging labor, so
$1,000 for clay. Mr. Sansall, I think I'll need to let you know that you have some safety issues out there with the fence. There's a potential that someone could possibly get injured.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Okay. So we do have some folks from the Snowden community here today. If you'd like to speak, maybe come up. I'll give you a couple minutes to speak. Mr. Coaxum and Mr. Jenkins, how y'all? Nice to see you. Just give your name and address for the record, please, sir.
No, we have nothing. Good morning. My name is Robert Coaxum. I'm at 435 Gurley Street, and I'm the vice president of the community / athletic director. And like the guy just stated, there is somewhat of a safety issue. We would appreciate anything that you guys can help us with. We just want to get the kids out of the houses, from off of the streets, just so that we can give them something to do in the immediate community. And right now, we don't have that. So, like
can I ask a couple of questions?
Yes, sir.
One of the things that Jody just mentioned was that more than 50% of this number came from two dugouts.
Uh-huh.
Dugouts are used for games.
Yes, sir.
Is there a lot of games being played there?
Well, actually, like I said, I'm the athletic director. I'm in the process of trying. We don't only want to do baseball. I want to get some flag football going out there, sure. You know, in the fall, and basketball court. I don't know if you saw that. We need work on that also. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. But right now, our hands are tied because...
But do you think it's good use of a capital budget to have more than 50%? Since the need is this big,
yes, sir.
We're taking half the money. Mm-hmm. For two dugouts.
Yes, I wouldn't say.
Oh, that's
I wouldn't,
a good idea.
No, not for the, just the dugout.
To take that money and put it into something else.
I would maybe. Agree. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I would
so,
agree.
So you'd be okay if we had the flexibility to look at...
helping us with, you know, the basketball court.
And honestly, thing. I thought the number was going to be higher. It just costs a lot of money to do things like that, really. Mm-hmm. If we can have, you know, our people, the smaller guys, use this... Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to get for $22,000 in this for anybody to have an extra space to use something? But I just have an issue with, man, half the money going to dugouts when we're not going to use dugouts. And football, you know, I don't know. I think, what's the question today? Are we going to ask to approve this money, or what's the deal?
Well, there's no funding source identified.
Okay.
I think you'd have to follow it through the budget process and have it added to the budget.
Okay.
Yeah, we just wanted it for discussion to talk about.
Yeah.
The idea was that you know, the kids would sign up for the town and the recreation like all the other kids would in the town, and that they would hold some of those games. So they don't have any lights, so everything would have to be in the daytime,
yeah.
And possibly be able to let some teams use it to practice in the outfield, whether it's lacrosse or other things like that. So work as a team, kind of, but specifically for the little guys to be able to play flag football and little things like that. And so that's why we were looking at it's a big field. It's a huge field out there, and it could be an asset. It's close to our recreation department, and it might be a good asset, you know, for that younger group of kids to be able to, you know, especially in the community, putting teams together in the community, and as he said, get them involved in healthy recreation activities, and be able to share it with the town as far as, you know, putting on those programs for the little guys.
Do you know This just me and you talking. Do you know of any other places like 6 Mile, 10 Mile, or other places where we may be able to use that would be in need of us going in there and doing some small things on property that they
absolutely
already have?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, a cage out there on Hamlin Road.
Be open to us using those?
Well, I mean, we'd have to go talk to them. Well, they already were at one time. We put about $15,000 into those courts and built bathrooms. Now, not the town.
Yeah.
I mean, we did this through the recreation, Mount Pleasant Recreation Commission that I had done years ago. We raised the money. We went out there and actually did all that. And so it was a good little, great little basketball court we put out there, and we put out a fountain. We got Waterworks to work with us. We fixed the fence. We put a fountain out there. We put a playground for the little tiny guys and bathrooms, girl and guys' bathrooms.
How's this for an idea? And I'm okay if it's a bad idea. Just tell me. What if we, Eric, you jump into. What if we were to say that we would create a granting program for areas that are not in the town of Mount Pleasant, where an agreement can be made for joint use, and they can apply for a grant for some of this funding?
Can I say that?
Yes.
We do have members of the community that's in the community that are part of the town of Mount Pleasant.
Oh, that
also
helps. Okay.
Yes. I am one.
But I think there's two issues here. One, that's good.
Yes, sir.
But second of all, the property itself is not owned by the town.
I know, that's right.
And
right.
So we would be, in fact, improving something that was not
directly.
That was not directly part of the town. But I think it's good. Uh-huh. And you know what? 100 years from now, I think it's all going to be part of the town anyway, at some point. But I think there's two things. We need space. We need space for a lot of things. And if we're able to do this, and have them come to us, you know, and have, you know, Jimmy and Steve create partnership agreements and then ask for funding, maybe we could put a sum of money in the budget for this year and try to set that up. And if they want to come to us for this funding, they can do it that way.
I think it's a great idea.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Great idea.
You'll tell me the truth later.
Is that a motion?
I think I would like to make a motion, and since it's a budget workshop, we can have it argued at the budget workshop for $25,000 to have a line item for a granting program for areas for recreation facilities that are not in the town for joint use. I know that made no sense, but we can clean that up to. I think you all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Is that okay?
I second the motion. So we got a motion.
I don't know if we helped
second.
You at all, but I think we're
like
creating
said,
a funding source
yes.
so that you can come and do that.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And this is all budget, so we can get nose down the road. It can go up. It can go down. We don't know. We just made a motion.
We got a motion and second on the floor. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it. Item number 6 is program and project updates.
For the sake of time, I'm going to kind of go through this a little quickly here. You have all of our participation numbers. I did want to point out a couple things. This is the first day of the farmers market. It's going to be this afternoon. It's a great event. It's going to be happening all summer long and into the early fall through September. Hope folks get a chance to get out there. Really, really nice event. We always have entertainment. It looks like we're going to have a pretty day this afternoon as well. Obviously, the Cooper River Bridge Run is coming up this weekend. Although it's not a recreation department event, we are thoroughly involved in it and got a big event. It's going to be interesting. We have Coleman Boulevard construction, and we have received a lot of good support from the contractor helping out and cooperating with everything to make that work well. It's going to be very interesting next year when the construction's actually in the middle of the road, so so we'll see how that turns out. So something to look forward to. We have our pickleball tournament. The first pickleball tournament's coming up April 21st and 22nd. It's at Park West. We still have spaces available. It's available for 24 male teams and 24 female teams. Right now we have 16 women's teams and 15 men's teams, so we'd love to get that filled up. And of course, later on in the month is Blessing of the Fleet. That's going to be going on, and I don't need to explain what that's all about. But a good day on April 29th. some things we did in this past month. We had the Art Fest at Town Center. That was on March 10th. About 6,000 people attended. It was very good. It was in a new location. It worked out very, very well. The Cultural Arts and Prides Commission is started doing its reigning art program. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see that, but it's very neat where they are able to put poetry or a picture or whatever it may be. In this case, it was poetry. And they stencil it onto concrete at different places around the town. And when it rains, it shows up. So when it gets wet, it shows up and everybody can see it. It's going to be on display today at the farmer's market as well. So something to look forward to.
All right.
What are the pickleball dates again?
The pickleball tournament is the 21st and 22nd, and it's at the Park West Gym.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right.
We'll be there.
All right. Good.
All right. Anything else for the cause?
No, sir.
All right. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Great meeting, guys.
All right. Thank you.